What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 137, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps the podcast out and helps us keep on going here. And with me today on Wednesday instead of Tuesday is Derek. What's up, man?
Not much, man. We are in full summer swing over here, bro.
Oh, it is gorgeous. Good weather, finally.
Yeah.
It's a little rainy here. It's been raining, but the weather's been good. I'm not going to complain about rain because it's better than snow, and it's not cold, so I'm happy.
Nice. Not only that, but, like, Computex is coming up, so tech is starting to heat up a bit, too,
right along with the weather. So. Yeah, we're getting some news about Computex. We're getting, it's going to be, Computex week is going to be a little crazy, I feel, this year. I think
there's a lot of announcements coming.
I think we're going to get an NVIDIA announcement. I'm almost positive. I think
that we've actually seen some other little hints from other companies too, kind of hinting towards them having new things. So, like, NVIDIA has to have a new thing.
Yeah, and I think we're gonna see an Intel announcement as well. I'm pretty sure. again, I don't know for a fact, but I mean, just based on everything that we've heard and, like, with some of the stuff we'll talk about today, like. It's going to be a big Computex. It's going to be a good one. So yeah, pretty excited about all of that. So let's jump into our reviews this week. And the first thing that I took a look at was the Biotech GN27D. And that is their 27-inch curved 1440p 144Hz display. It is advertised as a gaming display. And with those specs, of course, it is. Biotech, we took a look at their other display, which was the GN32Q, which was a 32-inch display with pretty much the same specs. This one is a little different, and the big thing that we talked about with that review, and just like with this one, is that when you're getting a display from not a big-name brand, you're kind of worried. One, it's not just like a part you throw and forget. Yeah, you're looking at it every day, so you want it to be kind of perfect. The two biggest things that you really look for, besides performance, is that, one, that there's no dead pixels. And we've seen this. You go on Amazon and look at reviews of different unnamed displays, and you say, oh, I had five dead pixels. I had dead pixels. You know what I mean? No dead pixels on this display. I'm still using it. It's sitting in front of me right now.
Nice.
And then no monitor bleed. So if you look at the top and bottom or the corners, there's no bleed anywhere. It's just annoying.
Horrible backlight bleed.
So there's no backlight bleed on this. This is a VA panel, which is from everything that I researched everywhere on this one, is manufactured by Samsung. So it is Samsung glass you have on there. It's an IPS display. Again, 1440p, 144Hz, 1800R curve. You do have FreeSync capability if you're rocking an AMD card.
I find to be an interesting choice. Do you? That they went with
FreeSync? I think the big thing with FreeSync is that it doesn't cost anything. It's an open source thing.
Gotcha.
So with G-Sync, it requires extra hardware and the licensing that you're going to get from NVIDIA. So that's why you see a lot of these displays support FreeSync. Because I believe it's free to license to these companies.
Cost-friendly
products. Yeah, so again, this is a cost-friendly product. This is giving you all the specs that you want, none of the extras. So again, no audio pass-through through a normal audio cable. You can do it through DisplayPort or HDMI. There are speakers on this. They're not that great, but... No straight audio pass-through like you would typically see.
Yeah.
No USB ports or anything like that. The stand is limited in the fact that you can angle it a little bit, but that's it. You're not going to get vertical adjustment. You're not going to be able to swivel the display or anything like that. And there's no cable management on the stand either. So those are things that not super important, but I mean maybe to the right person they are important. But
to me they're performance.
Yeah,
can fix all those things.
Yeah, so for performance, this has everything that you want. The only thing with this one that isn't the best, and the thing is, you're only going to notice it if you put this beside another display or you're moving from another display to this one, is that the brightness level is a little low. So it's a 250, CDM2. It's 250. The normal that you see is 300. Mm-hmm. So that's the only difference. Yeah. So if you sat this next to another display, or even when I switched this out with the other Biotech, which had the 300, it's a difference. Noticeable the display difference, yeah. looks dimmer. Now, I've been using this display for 2 or 3 weeks now, and I don't notice it anymore because I'm using this single display. Right. I don't have it next to anything, but it's something you will notice the first couple days. Just keep that in mind. But this is $369.99 on Amazon. That's the lowest price for these specs. It's the lowest price for 1440p curved 144 hertz. I think it's the lowest price just for 1440p 144 hertz in general, and the 1800R curve is good.
Yeah, I mean, I paid more money than that for 1440p, no name brand, direct from Korea monitor. So, yeah, that's a really good price. Not recently, let me say, but yeah, still.
And the performance is great. This one does come with a DisplayPort cable, so you are easily going to get that 144 hertz off the bat. You don't have to buy anything extra. Played a ton of games on it. It's great. I do like the size. So talking about going from 32 to 27, that's a great thing. 32 is just a little too big for like a serious gamer. I feel 27 is like right in that sweet spot. You can see everything. You actually are looking straight on at the display. You don't have to like look up or anything like that. Your head's not moving a lot, which is of course
you don't want to be panning with your head.
Yeah, so I think this size is really good. And one thing that I do want to point out about productivity people is that I can still have two windows open within Windows and have them on each side, you know, with no border in the middle, obviously. Cool. And I can still work. It still allows me to be productive. Yeah. It's not going to give you that ultra wide feel, but it's good. I like it. So yeah, so I think this is great. I think that if you are looking to save, $150 to sometimes $200 on a display and put that towards a better graphics card, we talked about this again with the other display as well. Yeah. This is a great choice. If you don't need all that stuff, you're not worried about, vertical adjustments or swivel and all that, this is a great display.
I think especially if like budget really is a problem for you, you might not be buying enough graphics card to run the 144 hertz on the better display. So maybe you need that 100, 150 bucks, 200 bucks to put it into your graphics card, because there's not much point in having that huge refresh rate if your card's not going to push it.
Exactly. So yeah, this was, this is a great monitor. I people like downplay these no-name brands, and I wouldn't say Biotech's kind of making a name for themselves, obviously doing reviews with us and other review sites, and
they're just not a top name brand. Well, they're also not a manufacturer necessarily, so to speak. They don't build displays, so
yeah. So I think it's good. It's a well-made display. It looks good. Another thing that's cool about it doesn't have the LED on the front, the power LED. It's under. Mm. You see this on some displays. Sometimes you don't. But that's a big thing for me because I don't want to look at like a little blue light
huge,
all day.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I don't need a light at all, to be honest.
Yeah, so I think this is, this is a good display. I haven't had any issues. Like, I've been running it. I've been playing games on it. No issues. So,
Awesome. I like it.
And that brings us to another device, which is very I haven't done a review and really got into a NAS in a while. So I took a look at Synology's DisStation DS418 Play. That is their 4-bay network-attached storage device. And this the big thing with this one, this is the Play version. So there's a DS418. I think there's a DS418 Plus, possibly. But this one, the big thing with this, it's made to be a multimedia center. So it offers hardware acceleration to playback content. So you can actually play back two streams of 4K content, and all the transcoding will be done on the device itself. So you can stream to really underpowered devices like we did with an Amazon Fire TV, which can't play 4K content natively. You know what I mean? Yeah. It has to be streamed or anything like that. So, one, you have 4 bays, so that's a lot of storage. I believe it supports up to 40 terabytes. So 4 10 terabyte drives in there.
Yeah. Should be plenty setup for with this, consumer level product.
Yeah. The setup on this is extremely easy. Synology has, for a while now, has done a really good job with their DisStation Manager software. I mean, It is so easy to set up. It is, there's no, it's, like I said, it's just so easy. Anybody can do it. You basically install the NAS connected to your network on any network connected device. I believe even you can do it on your phone. You just go to find.synology.com and it finds it on your local network. Nice. And you just run through the setup. It's that easy. And then once you're set up, you have the disk station manager software installed and it runs like an OS. So when you log in, it looks like an OS. It behaves like an OS. So if you're usually using Windows or you know, a GUI-based Linux or anything, yeah. Or Mac, you can run this. It's that easy. It's really easy to do. And one thing that I did want to touch on is that you can set this up in different RAID modes if you want, but by default, it's run in Synology's hybrid RAID, which is actually quite good, especially if you're running some older drives and you want to upgrade to drives in the future. Basically, you can go into the review and really read about everything I wrote about Synology Hybrid RAID. But the big thing with this is that you're not going to lose space. You're not going to lose storage space when you upgrade. In a normal RAID setup, you're limited by the smallest drive. So whatever the smallest drive is, say you have two terabytes and two 500 gigabyte drives, your RAID setup is going to be based on the 500 gigabyte drives. Hmm. So with this, it allows you to make use of the extra space. That's the right, biggest thing yeah. with it. And it's redundant, so you don't have to worry about losing data, which is important. And this is all set up by default. You don't have to do it. But for all those who want to do the traditional RAID setups, this supports it as well. So if you're an advanced user, you can go ahead and change everything. A couple of things that I wanted to point on within the control center part of this, there's the thing called Package Center. It's basically like an app store for the Synology NAS. So if you want to run other things on this NAS, you can go ahead and do it. You can run things like a Plex server. You can run an Apache file server. You can do a lot of stuff on this. And all these packages are ready to go. You just hit install, and it's installed and up and running. So if you're doing any business-related things, there's like email stuff you can run. There's backup software you can run. I mean, it has everything really that you want to do. And on top of that, Synology is not one of these no name companies or somebody that just like makes something and then it's gone. You know, yeah. They're always updating. They're always adding new things. So you can always look for new packages to be added that basically add extra functionality to this NAS. That's the best thing about owning a Synology NAS is that there's so much added functionality with these packages that they're actively working on. Which I think is really great. And the one that I did want to talk about, they had a backup system, which was called Cloud Drive, and they're replacing that with their new Synology Drive, which basically acts as a Dropbox or Google Drive. So you have your NAS, you install the Synology Drive, and then you can install the Synology Drive on any of your PCs anywhere, on your mobile devices, anything like that, and it acts just like a Dropbox or a Google Drive. And what's great about that is you and I were talking about running out of Google Drive space,
right.
Is that this is unlimited up until the amount of storage that you have, right. on your NAS. So, which is really cool. And I tested the apps on PC as well as on my iPhone, and it works great just like any of those other ones. So that's really cool. I think, for somebody who doesn't want to go into paying for, Google Drive storage or Amazon Drive storage, or any of the drive storages, you can go ahead and do that. And of course, the big thing with this one is the ability to transcode video. That's what this NAS is made for. And it does do that. The only caveat to that is that Synology does offer Plex to run Plex. If anybody knows what that is, that's basically running a multimedia server. And then there's Plex apps for pretty much anything. You can run Plex on your PC. You can run Plex on any of these streaming devices, anything like that. And it's really good. It's really well done. I went to do that and none of my 4K content would play back. And I was wondering why. It looks like they only offer, at least currently, they only offer this video and audio transcoding with hardware support through their own DS Video app, which works almost the same as Plex. But if you're somebody, Plex is just a better product. So I went to play 4K content on the DS Video app, and it worked fine. No problem. But when I went to play it on Plex, it didn't, because it doesn't have the hardware support for it. So it just seems like they want you to use their product, which I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah.
Don't
shoo people into your product necessarily.
Yeah, and I was reading that you could custom load a Plex application onto the NAS and change some settings in it, which it's an advanced task to do. I'm not a fan of that. I like if you offer a Plex package, which they do, if I want to install it, it should be able to take advantage of the hardware acceleration.
Yeah, definitely.
That's literally the only problem I have with this. But I've still been using the DS Video app to play back 4K content. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm playing back 4K content on a Amazon Fire TV stick, which is pretty impressive, which is incredibly underpowered. And it plays back smooth, no issues at all. And I'm playing it wirelessly, too. Just keep that in mind, because my Fire TV stick is wireless, of course. I think this is
pretty impressive.
Yeah, this is a great product. Anybody who's looking to do... If you're okay with the DS Video app, I would hope in the future they add this to their Plex package or somehow get that to work. I would think, of course, after our review comes out and maybe some other ones, that they fix that issue. But if you're okay with the DS Video app and you have a lot of 4K content or even HD content, and you have, you know, lower end devices like Fire TV sticks, and which is great because they're $30, $40, you know, you can just put those in your TV and be able to have high res content being streamed to those devices, wirelessly, which is great. And one other thing that I did want to mention about, this is that the, it does have dual NICs. So, they support failover, so if something happens, you know, especially in a small business environment, you'll have that added security and that added reliability. So if something happens, you won't have an issue there. So yeah, I think it's a great product. I think I would recommend this to anybody, small business to multimedia server to home users. It's just a great product, super easy to use. And I had a lot of fun doing this review because I learned a lot. So
cool.
It's always good doing those reviews where you actually learn something. So yeah. And then we'll drop it over to you. And you reviewed the Sumo Lounge. Which one is this? The Sumo Lounge Gamer Micro Suede Beanbag. Which is super important if you're, especially if you're gaming in the living room. Can't talk living room. So yeah, you want to tell us about it or?
Bob dropped out, but I just go ahead and do this. I assume I'm talking about the chair here now at this point. Yeah, it's a beanbag chair, similar to like all beanbag chairs, except for it's like a high quality chair. It's not like your little like the old school foam balls stuck into a leather bag deal. This is meant to be an actual piece of furniture, and it's aimed at the gamer, obviously, based on the name of it. And it's a microfiber filled, or not microfiber. What is this stuff called? The
micro suede.
No. That's the external material.
The fill. It's not the typical
memory foam. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's memory foam. So it's the comfort level that you get from memory foam, in a beanbag shape. And I thought it when you sit in it, it's super comfortable. When you drop down in it, you sink in, it feels great. The micro suede exterior feels really good. It's a nice soft touch, and you can tell though that it's quite durable. It's not a material that's going to fall apart on you quickly at all. And even if it did, you can get the different exterior bag for it to replace it. The only thing that I found that I was disappointed in was that it really kind of stopped being comfortable after you started using it for like any real extended period. So
you said that had to do with like the neck support.
Yeah, so it is the traditional like beanbag shape. So there is no neck support.
You think if they added say like a pillow or something like that.
Yeah, like a back piece to it. But at the same time, they probably won't, because they already have products that fit that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is what it is. It's just, I didn't find it to be that comfortable. I'm 5'10", about 165 pounds, and that's like, you know, I feel like I'm pretty average, so it's like most people are going to kind of have that same experience.
I think you get that with beanbags in general.
Yeah. So you try to like slouch down and then your back ends up hurting, whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's still, I mean, it's a nice extra piece of furniture to have around. It's something different to have as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's cool. I believe, don't quote me on this, I believe Simulounge prices are better than Lovesac.
Yeah.
And everybody knows Lovesac. Yeah. There's like, they're in most malls, and that's like, everybody's like, oh, get a Lovesac. Or if they see one of these, they're like, oh, it's a Lovesac. They're like the name brand. I believe Simulounge is much less expensive. I'm pretty sure.
That's their claim. They claim to be like half the price. So
yeah, so it's something you definitely want to check out. They have a ton of products. We reviewed, I think, 3 or 4 over the past probably 6 to 7 years. So
yeah,
I have a couple of them. And they were really, I can't talk today. They work really well. You know, it's just, you have to kind of find one. And that's what the sad thing about a lot of this type of product, and especially ordering these online, is like, you don't know what it feels like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like with Lovesac, at least in our mall, we have one. We have a Lovesac store. So you can go in there and like sit down on it and get a feel for it. I don't know. I assume they have a test period when you order one of these online. Sending it back would be kind of difficult.
Yeah, you'd have to like somehow, because it comes like fully compressed, just like a bed, right? When you order a new mattress, they suck all the air out. So I don't know how you would, the bag, like that bag, totally, you had to tear it off. There was no saving it. So
yeah, so I'm not sure how that would work or how they would do that. But yeah, if you guys hear banging, they're like working on my apartment. So. And you guys hear that in the background. Yeah. That's what that is. But yeah, that's a cool product. I think that, again, you can check out their full inventory of stuff on their website and see if there's something that might suit you, especially, again, if you're gaming in the living room. Pretty cool thing there. So
yeah, and I think like you got friends over and stuff, it's a great chair to just have. You know, it doesn't take up the same kind of space that traditional furniture does, so you just drag it around, drop it, move it, no big deal. So
yeah,
it's good for that.
So that is our reviews for the week. We're going to jump right into Case Mod Friday here. And we have a theme build that I don't think we've ever had a theme build for this specific game. And this is for Rainbow Six. It's called Rainbow Six Outbreak. It's from K-Mod Studio, which K-Mod Studio is a collaboration between AK-Mod in KM Studio. We've heard of AK Mod. I don't think I've heard of KM Studio. I don't know what KM Studio is, honestly, because I didn't do a whole lot of research on this. But I'm guessing that possibly KM Studio is like a studio that does, like, because you can see the quality of the, especially the backside of this,
like effects.
Yeah, like they kind of do like the paint and all that. And of course, AK Mod is very famous for his case mod. So I think that. That's what this is, but I could be wrong. Yeah. But I think it's great. One, it's cool to see a build around a different game. We've seen many many game theme builds, but this was for Rainbow Six, and I think it's really well done. It's in the Thermal Take View, which case is this? The Thermal Take View 37, which has the curved screen on it, and this is kind of like a black kind of build with red. Kind of red theming, so you have the MSI, red MSI graphics card in there, red coolant. I think the bullet holes and the cracks in the window are, like, amazing.
I'm not
think
sure
they're
exactly
real.
What
if
they
they're,
did.
Yeah, I
it's got to be double
I'm not
pain.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if they're real or if they're stickers, but they don't look like stickers.
No, I don't think they're stickers.
Yeah, so that's really well done. The Thermal Take CPU block looks really good in this. I think that kind of sets off the build a lot.
It's kind of basic though in terms of like components and the actual like water cooling and stuff. It's which is kind of like what we see when we see like a theme build a lot of times. That's like really kind of out there, and the exterior is heavily modded. Like a lot of times, they just kind of put components in it, and they might water cool it. You know, like in this case, they didn't water cool the GPU, just the CPU. So,
yeah. So I think it's different. I think that especially the back design is really good.
Mm-hmm.
With the kind of cool cabling and that hides the cables, which is really cool too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely really cool. Definitely check this one out if you're into theme builds, because it's a little different than kind of the other theme builds we've seen, because it kind of still keeps the case intact.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the other ones are just really out there. So definitely check that one out. And we'll move on to news this week. And we have some interesting stuff that have to do with CompuDex. But first, we'll start with NVIDIA. It looks like NVIDIA will be working on a GTX 1050 with 3 gigabytes of memory. This isn't a huge deal. And it's one that we won't see here in the United States. It's made for the Chinese market. So we have a bunch of different versions of the 1050 already. And the 3 gigabyte could possibly increase its performance because you're going from 2 to 3 gigabytes.
Yeah.
Rumors on this one that the memory bus could be cut down from 128 to 96, which would make it no difference. So I'm not sure what the thing is on this one. I think that, again, this is for Chinese market, maybe e-cafes or something like that. So there might be some type of power saving advantage or something.
Yeah, low-end VR rental stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. But yeah,
it's not going to push that much at all.
Yeah, so it's not going to be a big deal. Another SKU that they're coming out with, and there's a bunch already. So
yeah.
But the big news this week, and the one thing that's going to have to coincide with Computex, I'm guessing, is that Intel released a product brief on their upcoming Z90 chipset. That's going to sit above the current Z370, which, of course, is the high-end chipset for the 8th-gen Coffee Lake processors. And this chipset will support 8th-generation Coffee Lake, so you want to buy a motherboard that's a Z390, you won't have to get a new chip this time, which is nice. And it's going to be ready for the next generation of processors as well. Since it supports the same processors, you're going to have the same LGA 1151 socket on there. Mm-hmm. And then it's pretty much the same as the Z370 as far as, like, you get the same SATA 6 gig ports. You get 6 of them with ACHI and RAID supports, and there's up to 3 32 gigabit a second M.2 or U.2 connectors on there. The big difference is with the USB ports. So you're going to get 6 USB 3.1 Gen 2 ports, 10 USB 3.1 Gen 1 ports, and 14 USB 2.0 ports. So 30 USB ports supported by this chipset,
Is that what the mainstream consumer has been waiting for?
You're gonna see a lot of these. So a lot of these boards will have the dual internal now, which was only available on a lot of other high end boards with an extra USB controller. So now you'll have that on there. I think this is great, and I think this is gonna be this is needed a lot, because if you're doing RGB stuff, you need a USB controller.
That's a good point
for those, and everything's RGB now, and you just need some extra. You need the extra ports for that kind of stuff. So it's good to see that. Another new thing is that it will have Intel's Smart Sound technology, which we don't know a whole lot about, but it's basically, in the brief, it's described as a audio voice offload DSP, which basically should reduce CPU load when processing an audio track, which will help a lot with voice commands, which, you know, we're coming into. You know, we're using voice commands for a lot of stuff
right now.
Yeah, so that would be cool. And then the networking has been upgraded as well. So the chipset will support 1 gigabyte Ethernet interface. And it will be recommended that motherboard manufacturers will include an Intel Wireless AC 9650 card, which will give you 802.11 AC Wi-Fi and Bluetooth 5. It's pretty much been explained that almost every Z390 motherboard will feature wireless networking, and that most of them will include Intel's pairing with that, the wireless AC 9560. In some cases with gaming boards, you'll probably see like the the killer in there. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. So, you know, every board will have wireless, which is kind of cool. I like that. I like extra USB ports, and the smart sound isn't super exciting to me.
You just gotta have a use but, for it.
Yeah. So you have all that. So some nice upgrades here. Again, this is something that I think we'll see at Computex. I think we'll see a bunch of Z390 boards at Computex, which I'm super excited for. If you guys know Definitely. Me, I'm a motherboard guy, so super excited to see all of that stuff.
New designs. I didn't realize we were this close to new motherboards.
I think we are. I think it's kind of like a thing that's not being said.
Yeah.
But I think that Intel, with the release of the Ryzen processors and stuff, that Intel kind of needs to do this, and Computex is the perfect time. That's why I think we possibly might see a new processor announcement from Intel as well. And again, this is not the big leap. This is just a little upgrade.
Little, you know what I mean? Little tick.
Yeah, it's not a big upgrade, but it will bring more high end features to motherboards, which I'm super excited about, and it will bring new motherboard designs, which again, super excited about. So
yeah.
So, yeah.
It's always good to just, like, you know, the new series, so you get a whole new look. I love when we get a new look.
Yeah. So, and with all those extra USB ports and functionality, you'll see, like, a lot of cool things added onto the boards, I think. So, yeah, just excited to see all that. And, again, when Computex happens, we'll have all that news for you. Also, something that you'll probably see at Computex, and the first one's available, but it's not the one that everybody's expecting. So listed just this week was the first commercially available 4K 120 hertz gaming monitor. So that's the pinnacle for high-end gamers, is 4K 120 hertz. We don't have any displays that support that right now.
Right.
So the first one came out from a company out of Korea called Wasabi Mango. Totally never heard of them.
I actually have.
Is that what your other monitor is?
No, I just have heard of it.
Their display is their 43-inch UHD 430, and this gives you that. So this gives you – it's an IPS panel. It is 4K, 120 hertz. It has 5ms response time, which response time is kind of
– fairly slow.
Kind of pointless these days. Yeah. When you get into monitor things, it kind of is. I know a lot of people are like, oh, I need 1ms response time. If you play on a 1ms compared to a 5ms, there's no difference, at least in my opinion, of playing on those different types of monitors.
Yeah.
The only thing with this one is it says it has HDR support, but to really achieve that HDR support, you need like a 1,000 nits of brightness, and this one's only 400 nits. So like you'll see higher end, you'll see the big name displays will have 1,000 nits, like the Asus display that's going to be coming out will have 1,000 nits and all that. But this has pretty much everything, you know, minus that. It's only $1,399, which seems low.
It's also again, a no-name brand.
Yeah, so expect to see, and we'll go on to the next story here, which is that the Asus version of this type of display, 4K, and this one's 144 hertz, not 120.
Yeah.
So this is the real pinnacle. And this one has G-Sync. This one was listed online for pre-order for $3,000. Mm-hmm. Big difference.
But it's a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah. You do get G-Sync, which is more relevant than FreeSync these days.
Yeah. It's also important to note that this is actually a monitor in that it's 27 inches and not 40 inches, because they've basically just called a TV a monitor.
Yeah. So that's a big difference here. And this is the RG Swift. So it's going to have all of those awesome RG features that you like. And these are a known good gaming monitor. Again, we talked about 27-inch display that on our Viotech, 27-inch for serious gamers is the pinnacle, at least in my opinion so far, is the good size.
Yeah.
You know, and this one does have HDR10, 1,000 nits of brightness, direct LED backlighting, and this is a quantum dot display.
Yeah, big difference. Big differences there.
So I think that this one's listed for pre-order. Computex is coming up. I assume we'll see these all shown off from multiple companies, not just Asus.
Yeah,
I assume we'll see a lot of these being shown off. And this will be the kind of new high-end standard for gamers, will be 4K, either 120 or 144 hertz. But expect to pay a lot for it. So.
Yep. Been a long time coming, too.
Yes.
Which is kind of monitor tech. We wait and we wait and we wait.
And so. I think it takes a lot of time because the tech is there. Yeah. The implementation takes a lot longer.
It's also, I mean, like, yeah, doing proof of concept stuff is one thing with display technology. Actually creating a process to manufacture is, I think, seems to be really difficult. And it just is hard to push this tech. So,
yeah,
like we've really been like looking for these things for a really long time, but it's just the time it takes, it seems.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I'm excited. Like I said, a lot of big things. I mean, the new chips, new graphics cards, new displays, all at Computex. It's going to be a busy week.
Oh,
for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But moving away from that stuff and going to some RGB stuff, which some of you hate, some of you don't, is that Jonspo has announced their NC2 RGB memory heatsink. They announced their NC1 last year, and this is the new version.
Mm-hmm.
And they're it looks better. They're more affordable. There's two versions. There's one version that just like has a little controller, and you can switch between predefined modes, right?
Yeah.
And then there's another version that has your 4-pin, and it's supposedly only works with Asus RSync, but it will give you software control.
Yeah.
They come in packs of two, so you get two. So for like a dual channel setup,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get two. The normal ones with the controller are $13, and the smart ones that you can connect to your motherboard with software control are $20. That's not that expensive.
That's a great deal.
Considering how expensive RGB modules still are compared to non-RGB modules.
Yeah.
And if you already have a DDR4K, you're like, this is an easy way to add RGB functionality.
Not only that, but you can go back to your DDR2, your DDR3, everything. You can add these two, you know?
Yeah, so and they're rather inexpensive, so I like that as well. Check them out. They look good. I like them.
Yep. A lot of times these things don't look good, and I think that these ones actually do.
Yeah, I think they look a lot better than the first version, so.
Yeah.
Moving on from that to something you can completely RGB out in their press photos, that's what they did, is that Corsair has finally launched their Obsidian 1000D. This is their super tower. This thing is a monstrosity. It's huge.
Whoa,
it's
monstrosity. That makes it sound bad.
No, I mean, I would love to have that. this is a massive case. This is a case that actually supports, you can put two full systems in this. You can fit 13 fans, I believe.
The best example of its size, I think, is to say it takes two 480 millimeter rads in the front side by side. So,
yeah,
boom, there you go.
Yeah, this is a water cooler dream. This is a crazy modder's dream. This has everything. One thing that they did with this, I don't know if they did it with the other Obsidian series cases, but RGB is built into the front panel where like your USB ports and stuff are. So there's little,
that looks so good.
Yeah. So that's all built in, which looks cool. And it's all of course controlled by Q, which is cool.
This is dual system too.
Yeah. Dual system. So you can I believe an EATX and an ITX system. So we've seen things like that, especially if you're a real serious streamer, you want, a system for streaming and you want a system for gaming. Box. Yeah, so really cool.
Fantech was really the first ones, I think, to do that. Well, that's not true. They're the first ones in recent time to do it.
Yes, to
modernize it.
But I think that we're gonna see some really awesome builds with this. I mean, even their PR photo build is pretty badass.
Those fans really help, but it's still
how much these fans. I don't know how expensive they are, but there's like probably over a couple hundred dollars in fans just in here. Well over a couple.
I'd say there's probably $500 in fans in it.
Yeah, it just looks awesome. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing a really awesome build that you want to show off, that you want to do some crazy water cooling, you want to show off your graphics card, like this has it everything. says really has it all.
Yeah.
And this is the one where the back opens up and you have room for, I think, 10 hard drives in there as well.
Is it glass in the back as well? Is it tempered? Doesn't show.
I don't know if the backside is.
I think it is.
I believe it is. I believe both sides. It's just like the other Obsidian series cases. So you have tempered glass on the front, tempered glass on the side, and on both sides.
Yeah.
On the top. Yeah, it's awesome. I forget how much this is. It's very expensive.
It's probably like $1,000. Is it more?
Shop now.
It's basically. I mean, it's bigger than even the old big cases.
It is $500.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's with no fans or anything like that.
Steel chassis. Must be.
Aluminum.
It's aluminum.
It's aluminum.
Aluminum chassis, massive tempered glass panels, and it's only $500. And I really do mean only. That actually is not a bad price.
Yeah.
This is a lot of case.
Yeah, it says aluminum. Let me look at the product page, text specs. Here we go. See, now it says case material, steel, aluminum, tempered glass. Now, when I go on Amazon, it says Corsair, blah, blah, blah. 1000D Super Tower Premium Tempered Glass and Aluminum Smart Case.
Uh-huh. So I'm going to guess that the entire chassis is steel and that top panel is probably brushed aluminum.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool looking, it's a little wavy design on the top.
Yeah.
That looks good too. I really like this newest look from Corsair. It's much better than the previous stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Case by itself is 65 pounds.
Oh yeah, it is steel for sure.
Yeah, it's a big boy. So I still think price is fine. Everything that you get in, I think that again, this is a real builder modder crazy system case. So price range is not a normal user by any means.
No.
I like this. I'm a fan.
You know what I want to do is I want to get one, and you see how it's built out with it's two systems, right?
Yeah,
but I don't really need two systems. I just want to put a riser card down there, and run one GPU vertical like that, and then the other one plug straight into the board like normal. I love that little connection that they made with the water cooling piping there. That is so fantastic. Oh, I love this.
Yeah, very very cool. So hopefully we see some really cool builds with this. I mean, this case is just awesome.
Sky's the limit, man. It's got the room.
Yeah. So definitely. Check out our post on this and of course our website, which we have linked that you can check that out. It's awesome. Another case that was announced this week, a lot of cases. We had two awesome cases. A lot of cases are coming out.
Yeah.
Is that Cougar announced their Panzer Evo RGB. This is an upgrade to their Panzer Evo, which is an incredibly affordable case. It's an EATX. It's a big boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's tempered glass on all sides, I believe. Front, maybe not the top, or maybe the top, yeah. I'm not sure. It's tempered glass on almost all sides.
Yeah.
And they're smart enough where they have the inlets on the front, so you do get some air in there. And they've decked it out with their RGB fans. So you get RGB fans included with this. I don't know how many.
Yeah, and we're only looking at renders too.
Yeah.
So you get four
RGB fans. So you get three in the front and one in the rear.
Okay.
And they're Vortex fans and
this is Cougar.
Yeah,
Cougar. Yeah, their fans are actually really nice.
And they come with a fan hub and everything like that. But it's not software. It's like you gotta
push buttons and stuff.
Yeah.
Ugh, disgusting. The shame. Shame.
Yeah. So this fits every form factor, EATX, everything. Like, this is a big case. And it's $219, which I don't think is bad with all the fans.
No, it's cool looking. Especially, you kind of have to be partial to this type of design, which is kind of old school. Do you think? You agree with that?
Yeah, I really like the built out
handles and stuff.
I really like this design, and like you can see, like the carbon fiber kind of deal.
Yeah, in the corners. Yeah, the accents. I actually really like that.
I like this case a lot. I really like this case. It's big. It looks like internally it's built well. Like, it's well designed.
Yeah.
Everything just looks good on this. And the original had great reviews. We didn't review it, but I've read reviews on it, and it was a really good case. So I think with the added RGBs, it just makes it even better.
Yeah.
So like another great case, man. We have like I said, a lot of good cases. And Computex is usually we see a lot more new cases too. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, we're gonna see even more.
And then finally,
I was gonna say I can't wait to see InWin's new case because they always have something.
Yeah.
That's real special for Computex.
Yeah, that's exciting as well. So yeah. Super excited. A lot of good stuff. Moving over to games. It looks like we'll see a reveal of Battlefield V or 5, whatever you want to call it, which will be the sequel to Battlefield 1. It will be the continuation of that story. One good thing is that they will be doing a full component of single player with that, which I think the single player was decent on Battlefield 1.
Never played it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a story. So it's,
Yeah.
Of course, multiplayer is huge in this, but an interesting URL on the EA's website, ea.com/neverbethesame, which has now been changed to Battlefield 5, but it says catch the live reveal now on May 23rd, they have a how to watch. It's gonna be
next weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. So next weekend.
Next Wednesday actually.
Yeah. So you'll have info and all that, so it's exciting for that's like one of the biggest franchises.
Is that E3? Is E3 next week? I think it might.
No,
not yet.
Later. Yeah.
Okay.
E3 is June 12th.
Oh, okay, not quite.
So this is a little before. So I think that we'll see this reveal deal.
Yeah.
And then they'll have it playable at E3.
They'll have all sorts of streamers and stuff for.
Yeah. E3. Yeah. So, and then finally, the big thing that's coming up, that's every PC gamer looks for every year is that the Steam Summer. I can't talk to
you. Dude, you are struggling. Normally, you stumble a little, but today.
Yeah, I'm struggling. The
struggle is real. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Steam Summer Sale starts June 21st. So this is a big deal. So start saving your money now. This is the biggest sale that Steam has all year. It's bigger than their Black Friday. Their Christmas sale. Halloween, it's bigger than everything. Yeah. It's the biggest sale with the most things on that are on sale. Like there's sales every day. It's crazy. Yeah. So
deeper
the official
discounts than the rest of the year.
Yeah, much big, like huge discounts. The official date and time will be 9:55 a.m. Pacific time on June 21st, and it will run all the way till 10:05 a.m. Pacific time on June 5th or July 5th. Sorry, that would. So it's 13 total days of sales, which is a lot. I'm excited. I need some new games.
I need new games, I guess. I need new games to add to my library to never play. Oh, looking forward to it.
Yeah. So this is where you drop a lot of cash. I'll definitely get some games. I love getting those like 99-cent deals. You're like 99 cents, who cares? You know, games that are normally like $9.99 would be like 99 cents, and you're like, yep, I'll get that.
I get super optimistic every year, like, no, I'm going to have time for this, and then I'll buy, like, 5 games, and they're still sitting there waiting for me.
Yeah.
I wish you could somehow, like, sell them, and it was, like, a savings account, I was buying a collectible item or something.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of cool stuff coming with Computex coming up, and you know, just over that, we have E3 on the horizon, which means a lot of gaming news, too, so... just super excited stuff, and we'll talk about what we have coming up next week as far as reviews. Still working on the Ragetech Aurora 12 fans. This is their first RGB fans, so I'll be doing that review. Just trying to get some good photos and all of that with these working in a new case. So
yeah,
have those coming up, and then we're taking a look at the Corsair K63 wireless gaming keyboard. So this is a mechanical wireless gaming keyboard. That uses their super fast 1MS 2.4 gigahertz wireless technology. So all of, you know, people like you need wired. I guess I'll have to see if this is the case with this one. And it we're also going to be testing it with their little lap board that you can buy separately, or you can buy them as a combo that they work together. So if you're doing any living room gaming, this could be the setup for you because you don't want wires in the living room. And you can. This will support up to multiple devices, I believe, too. So, like, you can just grab your keyboard off your computer, you know, like in your desk somewhere, like in your bedroom, and then go to the living room with this, and then just reconnect it to that other one without having slap to like, plug things in. Yeah. So very cool.
Yeah, it was pretty slick when we saw it at CES.
Yeah, really good when we saw it at CES. So, and then finally, we're taking a look at another gaming chair, and this one is from Tesoro. This is their Zone Evolution, which is the new version of their, which one was there? Their Zone Balance, which I'm actually sitting in the Zone Balance. Mm-hmm. So the Zone Evolution is a little different. They've added some more support, which I think it needed. But this does have really like big lumbar support and really big head support, which a lot of these chairs don't.
No.
And the suspension system on the bottom is a little different than the previous version. So it'd be cool to see how this one stacks up. But this one's still very affordable. It's $269, mm-hmm. which is pretty affordable for these type of chairs.
It's average price for an office chair.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have all of that coming for you guys next week. And of course, at the end of the podcast, we talk about if we did anything cool or saw anything or anything like that. So did you play any games? Do anything?
I did. I played a game.
Oh, man. What game?
I played God of War.
Oh, yeah. You got God of War for PS4.
PlayStation 4, things. Yeah. What? Of all things.
Consoles.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but I mean they don't make it for PC, so
yeah,
it wouldn't play quite right either. I don't know, I don't think, but yeah, dude, I actually got hours in too, man.
Nice.
I think
nice.
I played like 12 to 15 hours in 3 days.
Wow,
I feel like that's a lot. That's pretty good for this guy.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a single player, right?
Yeah, it's really good.
So the single player is really good.
It's really good, yeah. Nice. So far,
nice.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. You don't see a lot of games have good single player. That's why I'm.
I mean, it's always been, though. It's like, that is what God of War is. And I believe I played them all. I was trying to figure it out. Some of the older ones look sort of similar, so it's having a hard time telling. But pretty sure I played them all, and I feel like I have playing the story, so it's like, it's pretty fun. But you can also just pick it up and play it without like having played any of the other ones. Nice. And it looks great. It's a little different. It's definitely, if you've heard anything about it, it's definitely a difficult game, especially compared to the others. So... yeah, got to keep that in mind. But once you learn the way things work, it's just nothing but fun.
Nice.
I'm like you kind of like level your character up in a way, and like I'm like getting pretty strong. So
awesome. Yeah, I haven't done a single player game that I really enjoyed in a while. So
gotcha.
I finally saw Ready Player One.
Oh, you did.
And I'm super disappointed.
Yeah, see? I'm sure you feel the same way I felt.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity, right?
Yeah, it's not...
like, it just could have been so much better.
It could have been so much better. The story doesn't go at all with the book.
No. Which is okay, though, right? Like, it can be okay. No, like, it can be okay. It's just that, like, the story they created is not even close to as good as the book.
Correct. And, it's not in order. Like, it's not...
oh, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, things are... things just feel wrong.
And honestly, I feel that if I watched it without reading the book, I would be confused.
Yeah, I'm not sure. My wife watched it, and she's not even really a gamer or... like, she watches a lot of movies, but she's not a gamer, so, like, she doesn't even get a lot of the references and stuff, and she liked it.
Yeah, it's not even the references. I just feel like I feel somebody who hasn't read anything would have a hard time understanding what's going on. Like, hard time, like, why, what's this race? What's this race for? Like, what's the, like, it, I don't know.
Yeah.
That, I just found, like, it would be hard to understand, to really understand what's going on. Like, yeah, you have great visuals and it's cool. But, like, to really understand what's going on and, like, how important certain things are.
Yeah.
It's, you'd have to watch it like 4 or 5 times. And like, I still don't think you would, I still don't think you would get like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, the book's,
well, you
far
definitely
better.
would never have an appreciation for half the stuff. Like there's like characters and things that happen in the book where you're just like, you just love that part of it. Right. And so you like see it in the movie. And so you're like willing to like accept the little, like the terrible job they did representing it. But you're like, well, at least I got it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, yes. It's just like there was, it just could have been so much better, even without like, and it's not even the references, because I know that they did run into trouble with like budget and getting licensing and stuff, but they didn't even need that. There was a lot of like, they tried to appeal to like the standard image of like a Hollywood teen movie, kind of like, instead of just going with like the realism that the book presented, like just in like character, like actor choices, right?
I feel
like they did, like they did a terrible job. The lead is not even close to what the what the lead is in the book, and I think that the fact that the guy in the book was like, or Wade in the book is just like, he's super average gamer. Well, not like skill wise, but like the way he looks and stuff. And in the book, or in the movie, they like went with what Hollywood would choose, right?
Yeah, and I think that like, he seemed like so optimistic in the movie, and like in the book he's like, his life sucks.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? He has like, yeah, it's just like,
it's just,
yeah. There's a lot of missed opportunity. I think it's cool. I think it's great to have a movie about nerdism.
Super nerd culture movie. Yeah.
That's great. But yeah, total missed opportunity.
I felt too a bit like it lacked the rawness that the future that is written about in the book has, and in the movie it's kind of this like, again, it's the Hollywood like plasticky soft future, like I don't know, it just the book is almost like R-rated. And the movie PG, almost, you know, even though I know it's a PG-13, but
yeah,
comparing
to I completely agree. I would hope that if anybody hasn't read the book and sees the movie, you should go read the book.
You'll get a lot.
I highly recommend it, and I'm sure that everybody who's read the book feels the same as us. I would think that you would,
for the most part. Some people are like super negative about the movie.
I'm not super negative. But I feel just like you did, that there's a lot of missed opportunity, and that I feel that it should have been told as the story is. And I'm not going to spoil anything.
No.
But it's not told as the real story is. So just saying that.
Yeah. And I get that the story in the book covers a great length of time, but hey, people have been making movies for a really long time, and they figure out ways around time elapsing of time, you know. It can be done.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I think that's all I did. I learned a lot about NAS stuff because I didn't do it NAS for a while. Yeah. So that was actually a lot of fun, and it's great to like have a product that like I can see with many different uses, and learning all the different things I can do with it. So that was a lot of fun.
Definitely.
But that is about it. You didn't do anything else.
No. I watched a Netflix movie called it. Anon or Anon, however you pronounce
it. I did see that on
It's Netflix. Good. It's good. Yeah, it's
good. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
So all right, guys. We will wrap things up here. Now, if you're looking for us on any of your podcasting software or apps, it's just Think Computers, all one word. And as always, we'll have our full show notes page that shows you everything and goes into more detail. Of course, if we're going through articles, you can click through and get all of your information there. So until next week. Catch you guys later.